Hello, I am Ted Moody.
I'm Parker Cantrell.
And I'm Steve Cantrell. And it's our pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Karsten Cantrell, or Casey as she's known to us.
You may just know Karsten as this year's Central Region Vice President, but what you may not know is when she went to WLC, she was very disappointed to learn that the National Mall is not actually a shopping mall, which meant no Lululemon.
But she's more than an avid shopper, travel aficionado, and coffee connoisseur.
She exudes love, has a servant's heart, and is forever loyal and true.
Go Pokes! Karsten's life revolves around her faith, her family, and the FFA. Her life goals are to love everybody always and dream big. We'd like to welcome at this time
my granddaughter,
my baby sister,
and the young lady that I am proud to call my daughter, your Central Region Vice President, Karsten Cantrell.
She sought her up in the saddle, cutting through the herd. Love's branding her cattle. Long live cowgirls.
It's a September Saturday morning. The sun is awake, which means my dad is awake, making homemade biscuits and sausage gravy for our family of four. The dark roast coffee is brewing, and my little white mug is waiting for me on the kitchen counter while I lay in bed for as long as possible until I hear my dad yell, "Breakfast is ready!" You might be thinking to yourself, this sounds like a picture-perfect way to start the weekend. But in my mind, you'd be wrong. Waking up to biscuits and gravy meant that my dad was buttering us kids up for a hard day of work on the farm. Now, I wasn't good at many things on the farm, but the few things that I could do as a little cowgirl, I did them well. Opening the gates, I'm your girl. Now, remembering to shut the gates, not so much. Filling up the syringes with a few cc's of medicine, I can do that, but only if I haven't already accidentally dropped and shattered the glass bottle. Sorry, Dad. Oh, but my personal favorite, filling up the water troughs. For those of my off-farm friends, this is the best gig on the ranch. You turn on the water, put the hose in the trough, then sit there for like 7 minutes until it's time to move to the next tank. The only time I was ever really bad at that job is when I'd listen to Justin Bieber on my pink iPod Touch and not realize that the water was overflowing. Or worse, when I'd go in the house for a quick snack, only to get sidetracked and wake up the next morning to a flooded barn and an expensive water bill. Overall, there were some jobs that definitely brought me joy on the farm. But there were some jobs that definitely didn't. One of those for me was herding cows. I mean, what is it about herding cows that immediately makes your blood rise? So when the biscuits and gravy are eaten and coffee grounds are all that remain in the bottom of my little white mug, I know it's time to put on my Wranglers and head out to the barn. Until I have the most genius idea any 11-year-old can have. I should call Grandma Connie and Grandpa Ted to see if they need some granddaughter time. Sneaking as stealthily and giggly as I can to the home phone. Wait, how many of y'all know what a home phone is? Oh, okay, good. So I take the home phone off the charging station, I run back to my room, and I dial the numbers until I hear my grandpa's chipper, "Yellow." I pinch myself to see if I can get a few tears flowing, and in the most weepy fifth grade tone say, "Grandpa Ted, Dad is making me herd cows today. I don't want to go outside. Can you come get me?" And as all y'all know, this little cowgirl had Grandpa wrapped around her finger and showing up at my doorstep within 10 minutes. I spent the entire day at my grandparents' house. I didn't dirty up my cowboy boots or overflow any water troughs, so I counted the day as a win. But it's funny, you see. 11-year-old me dreaded herding cows. But 10 years later, I see that I had the same choice then that I have now. A choice to see quality time with my family as herding cows and playing a part in our operation, and a choice to find meaning in each job on the ranch, whether glamorous or dusty. But how often do we miss the choices in front of us? I think we all have the choice to appreciate everything and count it all as joy. Growing up, I heard a story about a farmer who was out working all morning early in the field. He had come in the house to a hot breakfast that his wife had prepared, and when they sat down to say grace, they heard a knock at the door, and the farmer's wife answered to find a neighbor in need of a cup of sugar. Rather than contributing ingredients to the neighbor's breakfast, they asked if he'd just like to join theirs, and happily obliging, they sat and once again began to say grace. The farmer said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." Now the neighbor opened one eye and wondered where this was going, but the farmer continued, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the neighbor is perplexed, but he keeps his eyes shut this time because the farmer continues, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour." Now, at this point, the neighbor has both eyes open and is about to get up from the table. When the farmer says, "But God, I just love warm biscuits. Amen." It's the simple things. Even when we don't have the full picture, we can count joy in the simple things. To me, it sounds pretty easy to not find joy in buttermilk, lard, or flour. But when life gets hard, it's the simple things that can bring us joy, like the ingredients that make fresh biscuits. This is a lesson that my grandpa Ted has taught me. My grandpa Ted has lived a simple but joyful life. Born in 1938 during the Dust Bowl as one of seven children, my Papa T has lived through the joys and discomforts. Growing up, he would pitch in on the ranch, milking a few cows and working with the steers. He even got to show hogs in the FFA. My grandpa paid $7.50 for his corduroy jacket. Times sure were different. He got married to his best friend and the love of his life, Connie Lee Graves, at age 18, and he was 20. As newlyweds, they saved every penny they had to buy one car, pay rent for a small apartment, and attend college. Ted and Connie lived off of $5 a week. He drove 10 miles a day to pick up day-old bread for dinner, and he preached once a month for a stipend of $15. In the words of my grandpa, "We didn't have any extra money for the fun stuff, you know, the Coca-Colas and movies." And after a few months of pinching pennies, it was obvious that they didn't have the funds to go back to school for the spring semester. My grandparents faced trials of various kinds. They were poor, but they were happy. My grandpa knew what real joy was because for him, overcoming trial was made possible by holding on to the simple things in life. He and his bride at 18 and 20 knew that joy was not found in being rich, driving the nicest car, or seeing the newest award-winning movie. But he could find joy in the little apartment, eating day-old bread for dinner, and putting the needs of someone else above himself to ensure that my grandma Connie had the life she had always dreamed of. But more importantly, that their three kids, GT, Scott, and Michelle, could have something better. Even when he didn't have the full picture, my grandpa Ted found joy in the simple things. What are the simple things in life you're taking for granted? Waking up to feed your show project feels pretty simple, but when you win grand champion at the county fair, sounds like a joyful moment. Two-a-day sports practices feels like a heavy load, but when you persevere and end up in a playoff game, that simple commitment turned out to be worth a lot more. When you're in a new time zone, your alarm clock didn't go off, you can't find your official dress tie, and your ag teacher has called you twice because you were supposed to leave for the first session of the 96th National FFA Convention and Expo 10 minutes ago. That does not sound like a pleasant morning. But when you get to celebrate the success of those going across stage, and you show up in the same outfit as 70,000 other people, sounds like a worthy reward to me. Because even when we don't have the full picture, we can count joy in the simple things. When I think of someone who counts it all joy when they meet trials of various kinds, because they know that testing produces perseverance, I can't help but think of Ellie. Ellie is one of the strongest people I know who has overcome a lifetime of trial but pushes herself to look forward every day. She works day and night at the local stables to maintain her room and board while shadowing at a vet clinic and managing a part-time job at the vegetable patch. All of this on top of being a full-time student and a full-time FFA member of the Seacoast School of Technology chapter. Ellie has faced trials of various kinds, but she has found the purest joy possible because she's persevered. She could have quit when things get hard. She could get frustrated and she could give up, but instead, Ellie acts with a joyful spirit. And Ellie isn't alone in this movement of counting joy. I think of people like Carly from the Hayes FFA chapter, who walks through the state officer process with immense joy, even when the health struggles of a family member could have weighed her down. Esther is counting joy while moving 400 miles away from home, leaving the comfort of the Stillwater FFA chapter and opening up a new season of life with the Waverly FFA chapter. Lexi from the Roan FFA chapter counted joy while leading her entire state association in an invocation on stage at their annual state convention. I think of people like Brooke from the Pontagansa FFA chapter who begged her mom to drive her to state convention so that she could give me a friendship bracelet and a handwritten card. Or Chloe from the Bradford FFA chapter who gifted me with a luggage tag that says, "Leave a little sparkle wherever you go," because she knows we officers spend an entire year on the road. Ella from Northeast Carolina Prep, Gracie from Mount Juliet FFA, and Lucy Beth from Paris FFA actively live with a joyful spirit because they understand its importance. So what do these students have in common? They not only count joy, but they share joy. These nine people were immersed in joy and they opened their hands to share it with me, who in your life has shared joy with you. Was it an ag teacher, a parent, maybe a stranger or a friend? How do you share joy with those around you? Maybe by writing someone a card, sending a text to that person that you haven't talked to in a while and telling them to have a good day, or by sitting by someone new at the lunch table. Or maybe you're in a season of life where it feels like you have no joy to count and you have no joy to share. Hear me when I tell you that on the darkest of days, in the midst of our trial, I believe we can count something as joy. Because when we count joy, we share joy. When I think of someone who counts it all joy, I can't help but think of these people. And I think about the things that I have done this year to count joy. On the hardest of days and in the midst of trial, I've been able to count joy. Ryan Best, a trusted mentor, once told me that nothing comes in or out of a closed fist. It means we cannot receive joy if we close ourselves off to it. And we can't share our joy if we never try to give it away. It's actively choosing to live palms up. But what does that mean? Palms up to me means finding joy in being present, sharing the gifts that you possess with those around you. It's a posture of acceptance and openness. People who have lived palms up have counted it all as joy. Everyone put out your hands and make a fist. Now try it again, palms up. Make a fist and try it again, palms up. Because we cannot receive joy if we close ourselves off to it, and we cannot share our joy if we never try to give it away. Counting joy is actively choosing to live, palms up. Counting joy is a choice. At some point, you'll have to acknowledge that we will always live a negative life if we allow ourselves to sit in that emotion rather than counting it all joy when we meet trials of various kinds, because we know that testing produces perseverance. Every one of us gets tested. I mean, my patience gets tested when I'm working cows, but seriously, peer pressure can put us to the test. Our busy schedules can test us physically. Life at home can test us emotionally. Not a single person in this room is exempt from trial, but some of us will sit in that season for longer than others because of our perspective. I've spent a lot of time feeling sorry for myself, sitting in discontentment and running away from the things that I didn't like, when in reality, I had the choice to count joy. Because when I actively started looking for joy, I found it. On the hardest of days and in the midst of trial, I could count one small piece of joy. And I remind myself of that small piece of joy every single day by writing it in a journal, because I believe we're called to count things as joy. This year, I've counted joy in things like seeing Mount Rushmore with South Dakota FFA members or listening to the Bob Goff podcast. I found joy in making snow angels with the New Hampshire State Officer team and listening to my favorite song, Defender, the Upper Room version, on every single flight this year. I was able to count joy when I was kayaking at Tennessee FFA's Camp Clements with some FFA members, and I definitely counted joy sitting at Aspen Coffee with good company. I found joy in these great days. But I also found joy in the hardest of days. Like in the times where I was crying because it hurt to say goodbye to my state officer teammates after we sat at Brahms and ate ice cream cones together. Or when I was lonely on the road this year. I was able to find joy in the many times that I did laundry in a hotel room and in the many delayed flights. I even found joy when I was crying on a flight away from home because I was sad to leave my parents and the people who I care about most. I even found joy in those hard days. FFA members, you have the choice to count joy. When you're making a core memory, when you're drinking a good cup of coffee, or you are listening to your favorite song. But you also have the choice to count joy on the hardest of days. In the midst of trial, when you're lonely, when you don't want to say goodbye to your friends or leave home. I have counted this year as joy because when I faced trials of various kinds, I knew that the testing was producing perseverance. But the choice is yours. To find joy, to count joy, and to share joy. But I believe we can count it all as joy. I take a picture in my mind so we're always together. Cause I wanna remember.
Carsten Lee Cantrell, our Lululemon cowgirl. You are wise beyond your years, and you have provided consistency and efficiency to our team when we really needed it. You are a shoulder to cry on, a listening ear, and the first one to check up on us. We love you dearly. Your dry sense of humor always keeps us on our toes, but we're better because of you. It's an honor to call you teammate and a joy to call you friend. Love, Ryan, Andrew, Gracie, McKenna, and Jess. FFA members and guests, your National Central Region Vice President, Carson Cantrell. Yeah.